So, when was the last time it happened to you? Being lied to, that is. Now, you and I are very familiar with the sin of lying, aren't we? We are. Because with the possible exception of police and judges, we are, as counselors, are probably lied to more than anyone else in town. In 1998, a survey published in the San Francisco Chronicle indicated that the average adult lies, or is willing to admit that he does, 13 times per week. It's been suggested that the two biggest American lies are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. And number two, you know this one, the check. There you go. Syndicated columnist Ann Landers asked her readers to send her their ideas for the suggested third biggest lie. And here's a sample of the responses that she received. It's delicious, but I couldn't eat another bite. So glad you dropped by. I wasn't doing a thing. You don't look a day over 40. The baby is just beautiful. Sorry, dear, not tonight. I have a headache. It's a good thing you came by today. We only have two more in stock. And my favorite, put the map away. I know exactly how to get there. Now, like most Americans, many of the people you counsel have struggled with lying. Some to a rather small extent, others to a great extent. So they are accustomed to lying. They're so accustomed to lying that you could actually rightly classify them as liars. Now, of course, this presents a particular problem for those counselees who profess Christ, because Christians not only know the truth, but we are commanded to speak the truth in love. The ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, is one of the most basic biblical directives for living the Christian life. Now, perhaps your counselee has tried often to stop lying and has failed, especially in the crunch, you know, when the heat, when the pressure was on. But you have good news for him, don't you? You can tell him, you're not alone. Many people of God have struggled with this sin. In fact, the Bible is filled with examples of people who have lied. Even well-respected people like Abraham, Jacob, Aaron, David, and the Apostle Peter all lied under pressure. Now, dealing with deception admittedly is difficult, and this is so for a number of reasons, not the least of which is the fact that it's easier to deceive than to perceive. As the French essayist Michel de Montaigne put it, if the truth, like a lie, had but one face, we would be on better terms, for we would accept as certain the opposite of what the liar would say. But the reverse of truth has 100,000 faces and an infinite field. Now, you add to this the biblical requirement that in the absence of evidence to the contrary, as believers, we're to believe all things, right? 1 Corinthians 13:7. And the undeniable reality is that the overwhelming majority of the lies that were told in the Bible, and there are many, by the way, I mean, you could almost say tongue-in-cheek, the Bible is filled with lies. That's how many lies there are in the Bible, examples of people who told lies. In the short term, the overwhelming majority of the lies in the Bible were successful. They, at least temporarily, duped their victims. So with that in mind, let's consider how you can effectively help people who struggle with lying. First thing I suggest that you do is to understand the definition and scope of deception from God's point of view. And perhaps the best place to begin is to know at least a few of the biblical basics about deception. What is deception? Well, for centuries, people have tried to define this term, and even theologians do not always agree on every point in the discussion. But there are a few points which virtually all of them, most of them at least, agree. First, Deception involves deliberately communicating to another something that one does not believe to be true. Deliberately communicating to another something that one does not deliberately believe to be true. Second, deception is intentionally expressing something outwardly which contradicts that which he judges to be true inwardly. And third, deception is deliberately misleading another who has been neither informed of one's intentions to mislead him, nor requested to be misled. You say, what do you mean, requested to be misled? Well, as in the case of actors, right? Illusionists, those who whose performances by their very nature are intentionally misleading. Basketball players, football players, they kind of fake each other out, right? So deception is deliberately misleading another who has been neither informed of one's intention to mislead him nor requested to be misled. Now, let's sort of chuck it down to the cob here. There are two basic ways to deceive. Lots of specific ways, but you can pretty much break them down to two categories. You can deceive by falsifying information or by concealing information. Falsification involves distorting the truth, changing the essential facts. Concealment involves withholding vital elements of the truth, omitting the essential facts. This is why, when American citizens are sworn in before taking the witness stand, they're enjoined not only to tell the truth, but the whole truth. Because if you just tell the truth, you can tell the truth one time and you'd be okay, right? You have to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And these three pledges cover just about every form and combination of lying, except possibly for inference or insinuation, which I suppose has been omitted from the oath for the benefit of the lawyers. Present company accepted, I hope. Number two, learn the various deceptive devices. Become familiar with the various deceptive devices employed by lying counselee. Now, in your notes, I believe you've been given a handout with close to 24 different kinds of lies in the Bible. And that list is not exhausted. Now, that's two different examples. 24 different kinds of lying, most of which have more than one example in the Bible. And the list is not exhaustive. Now, we're not going to be able to go through all of them. I want to go through maybe 6 of them this morning, but you need to become familiar. And by the way, if you'll allow me to do a shameless plug, here's a book, Deception, Letting Go of Lying, a little book that I wrote that will unpack many of them, and we'll cover pretty close to all of those 22 in one way or another. So you may find this very helpful. Let's take a look at, like I said, a few of them. First is the outright lie. Turn to Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, 'You shall not eat from any tree of the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.'" The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die." So Satan verbally negated God's promise. God pledges, "In the day that you eat from it, you shall die." Satan says no. Now, there are possibly two ways to interpret Satan's contradiction here. Both of them are lies. Either he's playing off the word "surely," questioning the certainty of God's promise. "You shall not surely die. I wouldn't be so sure of this dying deal that God has offered you." Or he's using the assertiveness of the word "sure" to oppose, if not mock, God. "You surely, you most certainly will not die." Either case, it's a lie. Now, inference. Look at verse 5. "For God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, What Satan is trying to do here is to cast doubt over God's character and motives.